We're actually going to close up this series today. And risk is a heavy word. Risk is a weighty word because it involves vulnerability. It involves putting ourselves out there and not knowing what the outcome will be. Like, you go and you get that coffee for the gal at the store. What if you don't get a high five? What if you don't get a thank you? Because there is a possibility, right? I don't have time to stop and say thank you. And you know what? When I actually requested the coffee or mentioned it, I wasn't really expecting you to do anything, so you shouldn't have. There's risk in every decision we make in life. And then I'd push to ask this, or to put this out there. Is there anything with extreme value that does not involve a risk? Is there anything that could potentially be life-changing that does not involve us risking? No. We need to put ourselves out there in many ways, whether it's a job decision or a financial decision or a relational decision. It involves risk because none of us know the tomorrow. I mean, heck, none of us know the next 10 seconds of our lives. So when we're talking about risk in this message series that we've been in for almost 8 weeks, we're talking about what if we risk in the category of love and we stop judging people, we forgive people, we are generous with our time, with our money, and with other resources. What if we take the risk and we trust that risking those things could produce something beautiful? And it's a question. What if? Could we make our difference in our neighborhood? Could we make our difference in our workspace? Could we make a difference in our city? Yes, absolutely, 100%. I think so. So as we close up today, we're going to see that when we risk and we allow love to be the catalyst in our hearts, then that points to Jesus. So full circle, that's what we want. We want folks to know about him. And those of us who have doubts and fears and just don't get this, then these are small steps that we can lay out for folks so they maybe they can take a step a little bit closer to being able to taste and see that he really is good. It's not about saying we have it all together. It's about saying, let me do my part. And that's how we become city changers, like people who will make a difference in the city. So here are the two options. We wait to inherit the city however it comes to us, or we make a difference right now, and we know that the investment that we're making is making a difference. And I believe we've got a group of people who can be vital parts in that, in our city. If you are a note taker and you have your smartphone out, then this is the title for you. If you're not using your smartphone for notes, then I'm going to invite you to put it away just so you can give me 20 minutes of time to focus on this message. I had a lot of options as far as how to close up this series, and I hope that this is that one message that leaves a big old seed in your heart. And that when you walk away, it'll start to produce something in your heart. And that my desire is that when you go back home and when you're sitting with your family and friends and you're watching that UFC fight or that cowboy game or working, that these things would come to mind. So, title, Risk to Go the Extra Mile. Are you a status quo person or a little bit of a misfit / anomaly? Like, are you okay with kind of bare minimum? They ask me for 5, I give them 5. Whatever that context might be. Or are you a, you know what, they asked for 5, but I'm going to do 9. we tend to live in these categories in different spheres of our lives. I'm okay with just being in the bubble with everybody else. Or we can be the ones who pop the bubble and say, maybe I do have an opportunity to make a difference in my office. Maybe I do have an opportunity to make that risky decision and do something that's in here already, and maybe it has the potential to like blow up in a good way. Like, I know I'm not supposed to forgive in this situation because I've been wronged really bad, but what if I'm the anomaly and I do offer the forgiveness and I'm like, you know what, I'm just as messed up as you are in other ways, so you know what, here's my hand of forgiveness. Well, people don't really give. Why would I give? Or you can be the anomaly and say, whoa, wait a minute, I'm been so well taken care of and I'm so blessed, and you know what, I'm going to be the one who pops the bubble and gives even when it doesn't make sense. So, status quo person or anomaly? Just something for you to chew on as I lay out the remaining parts of the message for this morning. And then I'm going to try and connect this and draw out that Christ created us to stand out. I'm going to lay this out in a way where I hope I can paint the picture that we're created to be salty, aka leave a flavor where we go. Not just be a status quo and say, oh, it's just so-and-so. Of course, there's nothing different there. You leave your office. You've been there for 5 years. You leave your office and nobody misses you because you were status quo. But as I present today, I will encourage us all and put it out there that I think we were all created with a large purpose, city changing potential, so that those in our spheres of influence, whether it's 2, 5, or 100, so that those in our sphere of influence might say, huh, there's something different there. Status quo or anomaly? One verse that we're going to build today's message on is Matthew chapter 5, verse 41. I'm going to give you a little bit of context, like I always do, because it's important to know what's going on, right? You would never open up a book and pick out one sentence and say, I know what the book is about, right? Wouldn't make sense. So we've got 60 plus books in the Bible. We're taking one sentence this morning. I'm going to give you a little bit of context in Matthew chapter 5. It is one of the Gospels. Gospel is a word that means good news. Capital G, capital N. And in Matthew chapter 5 in the New Testament, so second half of the Bible, we see Jesus giving what many would say is his most popular and most influential discourse. It's called the Sermon on the Mount, literally, because he's on a mountainside, right? He's in a small town, as small as towns were back then, 2,000 years ago, and Jesus has some people who are following him because they've heard stories. Maybe you've heard stories. Whether you believe him or not, that's not the case, or that's not important right now. You just hear a story, and you're like, I want to see what he's about. Is this man crazy? Is this man just a really solid teacher? Or is he the Son of God? And people would come, disciples, followers, and they'd be like, I want to hear a little bit because I heard that this man opened the eyes of the blind. That can't be. That's cool. Bring your doubts. He welcomes our doubts. And this man raised that guy from the dead. He was in that tomb for 3 days, and all of a sudden he goes over there and he raises the dead. No way. Or maybe I kind of believe it and I want to taste some more of it. So Jesus is on this mountainside and he's teaching. Now people are following. They're like, I want to learn some more about this interesting guy. And he starts to teach. Similar to what we do here at Love in Motion. No glitz, no glamour, nothing to try and get here. Just here's God's word. What do you think about it? Chew on it. Let it challenge you in some ways. Let it encourage you in other ways. Let it expose some stuff in your heart. It's always speaking, and there's always a response to God's word. So Jesus is on the mountainside. The crowds are there, and he starts to teach the Beatitudes in chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So those who are hungry and don't get it, he's like, I bless those folks. He says, blessed are those who mourn, because I will comfort them. And he goes on, and in Matthew chapter 5, he's talking to those people on the mountainside, and he's speaking to us today. And he says that if a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. So this is where the word of Jesus comes, and it's extremely counterintuitive. And I need to set some context here so we understand what's going on here. So the nation, the people of Israel, God's people, the Jewish people have been occupied, if you will, by the Romans, right? And they come and they say, you know what, these are our rules and we're going to impose our rules on you. And naturally, the Jewish people kind of bow up and they're like, but this is our territory. What are you doing here? And they abuse and mistreat the people. And they eventually wound up putting Jesus on a cross and killing him. But these are the same people who now occupy their land. And there was a law where a Roman soldier in your town could come up to any Jewish citizen and say, hey, grab my gear and you take it to the next stop for me. But by law, he could only force you to take it 1 mile. And then you could drop it. And you could say, all right, I've done my duty. And if he saw another guy, he'd probably ask that guy to take it the other mile. But you were obligated, don't miss that word, you were obligated by law to do it only 1 mile. Obligated. And Jesus says something counterintuitive. He says, when a Roman soldier asks you to carry his gear, don't just do it for that 1 mile. As a matter of fact, do it for 2 miles. So does Jesus not care about his people? I mean, why is Jesus not standing there in the front line saying, these are my boys? You want me to tell you why? Because anybody can do that. That's the status quo. I'll do it one. You ask me for one, I'm going to give you what you want. I'm required to, I'm obligated to, I'm going to give it to you. And the ways of Jesus are counterintuitive. They don't make sense to our flesh. So what Jesus asks us to do is to be an anomaly, is to be salt, to go out of your way. He calls us to be light in the darkness so that we shine and we are different, and so that people in our context say, there's something different about this guy, and I just don't get it right now, but there's something different. The status quo just falls through the cracks, right? An anomaly stands out. Sometimes they're labeled misfits. Sometimes they're labeled as weirdos. Just don't fit in. That's what Christ calls us to do. Just don't fit in. Not in a prideful, demeaning way. This is why I don't fit in, because you're worse than me. No, we're all bad. We're all jacked up. We all struggle. But he says, if you let love be the catalyst, You're required one. Anybody can do what we're required to, right? The contract says this, do it. But what if we take those things and they're different in our lives? What if we go the extra mile? What if you go the extra mile with people in your life? This is what they expect. I'm going to give it to them. Where I can lovingly blow them away by going two. Here's what we need to get from this. Consider the love received. So I invite us all right now. Do an inventory test right here. Heart, mind. Have a flashback in your mind right now. Consider the love received throughout your life. Consider, let's do this gently because I want to be careful with this. Consider the way you've been provided for in your life. Just consider it gently. Consider the way you've been protected from certain things. Now, don't misunderstand me there that life has been perfect. There is no perfect life. So just disillusion, shatter that immediately. Because then we get into the comparison game, and that's horrific. Don't compare. Self-inventory, I said like 30 seconds ago. Self-inventory. Mirror. Who do you see? Pollo. Consider the forgiveness you've received when it hasn't been necessarily earned. Consider the second chances. Consider opportunities that maybe you're living right now that maybe you thought you would never have. Consider certain things that God has brought into your life that you haven't even knocked on the door for them to come, but they've come. Perhaps a friend, perhaps a church, perhaps a job, perhaps an encouraging word from somebody at some point. Consider the love. And then we dig deeper. Consider what Christ has done for us, wherever you're at in that camp. Get it, don't get it, doubt, kicking and punching because you don't want to get it. It's all right. Let me put it out there anyway. Consider the love that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, would lay down his life, let me be real, would allow himself to be killed, mocked, spit upon, tortured, crucified, hands through the nails, and that he would say that he did that for you, and you put in your name. Why? Why did he have to do that for me? Because that absolves us from everything, from all of our wicked, evil thoughts, selfishness, hatred, unbelief. It absolves us. Like slate is clean, not just once, but forever and ever and ever. Consider that love wherever you're at. Just consider it. I'm not asking you to swallow it. Just consider it. Chew on it a little bit. Taste it a little bit. Now, after we've done that self-inventory, we really see how overflowing our life is. Not because it's perfect, but because indeed the cup is running over. Right? Right? It's running over in ways. And let your heart be compelled at that point. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 says that the love of Christ compels us. What's compel? It pushes you, right? It's like a catalyst, right? Like you drop in the Mentos to the Diet Coke, right? It's compelled to come out of the 3-liter. If you know what I'm talking about, YouTube, Diet Coke and Mentos. The love of Christ compels us to do what? To go the second mile. To look for that opportunity to stop and say, oh, whoa, look what I'm being asked for. Of course, why wouldn't I? Doesn't make sense. Not in my schedule. Don't even get how to do this, but I'm going to go the second mile. The status quo is like, yeah, I'm busy. You should know that. Do you know how busy and how important I am? Blah, blah, blah. But I want to be an anomaly because I truly believe that anomalies are what makes a difference. I'm going to get out of the bubble. I'm going to be the one with the needle in the bubble to pop the bubble and to say, here's how you leave a footprint. It's important to do that self-inventory because when we really realize how blessed we are, how well taken care of we've been, even when we haven't been searching or knocking or asking or requesting, when you realize the grace that is there, then we can't help but be compelled to give back. Not because you're requested to go the 1 mile. Anybody can do that. But now the second mile is what? A choice. Not I must, but I get to. You want to make a difference in your workplace? Go the second mile. You want to make a difference in your neighborhood? Go the second mile. You want to influence the people in your sphere of influence, your employees and your family? Go the second mile. You want people to say, wow, there's something different there. You want to point people back to Jesus? Go the second mile. The degree on the wall is good. The money in the bank is good. The nice home is good. How long will those things last, though? They can be ripped away in a moment. When we're making a difference here in people's hearts and minds, nothing can rip it away. That's what city changers do. They go the second mile. Here are my closing thoughts. You want to leave a legacy? A legacy that lasts beyond just a reputation and a resume. Then it's about the second mile. Let me tell you something about the second mile. There aren't a lot of people there. It's lonely there sometimes. Because most people stop at the 1 mile, check the box, continue walking, and say, next job, next obligation. That's the status quo. Want to break the bubble? It's going to cost you. I say that tenderly because second mile always takes more, right? Love, time, energy, the ability to be interrupted in the busyness of life. It costs to be able to go there. And that's why Jesus looked at his disciples, followers, learners, pupils, students, And this is what he said up front. You want to follow me? It's going to cost you everything. It's tough. But I've tasted the beauty of the second mile. I see it in many of you. The beauty of the second mile. It's a story that leaves a mark. It's the rock in the pond that leaves the ripple effect. And it keeps going and going and going. How do we achieve that? How do we actually do the second mile? You remember what Christ has done for you. And allow that to compel you in everything you do. That business deal, let the love of God compel you. The word that's going to come out of your mouth to your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend or mom or dad or cousin or neighbor, let the love of God compel you before the vocal cords react. Do you often find yourself being stingy? Like, this is what I'm trying to paint here. Do you often find yourself as just being the 1 mile person? I was asked for it, and I gave them the bare minimum. Be happy with it. Just a reflective question. I can't answer that for you, nor would I dare to. Let me pose it again. Are you often the, I met the expectation. Have fun. Stingy with your money, time, love, forgiveness, courage, home, car, clothes. Words. I know I'm like that many times. Because my flesh wins out. It's like, I know what would be the second mile, and I know how I need to go down that second mile. And many times it's like, but you know what? It's about me. And it just dissolves the power of the second mile. So here's my encouragement to all of us. If, like me, you would say, I'm there often. Here's the invitation. Repent of that. Like in your heart right now, you know what? I've been that jerk. That's my word, by the way. Maybe you can say, I've been that prince. Or that princess. Give yourself the label that you choose to. But I know I can say, I've been that jerk. And if I don't consciously allow the love of God to compel me, then I'm always going to be the 1 mile guy. I'm sorry, God. Will you help me be the 2 mile guy, gal? That's good for our hearts. It's oh so difficult, though. Because it jacks with all of our pride and our ego. And it's, I'm not repenting. I didn't jack up. They didn't deserve it. Status quo can make excuses all day long, right? Anomalies. Like, let me man up. I do love myself more than other things in my life most time. And then we step by step and breath by breath say, God, help me right now. Because, man, I'm so tempted to just be a 1 mile bare minimum and I'm out the door. But breath by breath, step by step, let me be the 2 mile. Give me your strength. Let me be reflective and know that you've already given me everything. Romans 8:32, he's already given us even the life of his son. What will he withhold from us? He's already given us what's most beautiful and valuable to him. We've got what we need, friends. We do. And as I close up, as we get out of here, we go on to our life next week, I invite us to risk. It takes risk. Please don't hear me say it comes naturally. It takes boldness. It takes courage. Be a second mile person. And then as I close up this morning, I close up with the good news that Jesus says to us with all of our doubts, fears, anxieties, all of our stinginess and all the love that we have for self, self, self. He says this to all of us. He says, my love for you is deep. My forgiveness is wide. My plans for you are amazing. And he invites us to believe that. And if you struggle with that belief, say, help my disbelief. He loves that. He honors that. We need to create a culture where we're okay with how not okay we're with that stuff. How okay we are when we don't get it. I invite it all. And then he whispers the tender words into our heart this morning as I get ready to close this down. It doesn't change because my love for you is unconditional. You're my girl. You're my boy. You have everything you need. Rejoice. Celebrate. That's the good news. Thank you, Christ, for your word. Lead us, guide us, and shape us. In your name, amen.